Mike and the worship team, thank you so much for the way that you've led us this morning as we come to think again of the cross of Jesus and the life that he offers, the life that he brings as a result of his death and resurrection. This is the fourth Sunday in Lent. And a lot of folks have got some funny ideas about Lent. They think it's about giving up stuff. I'm going to give up chocolate for Lent. No, I'm not. I'm going to give up Facebook for Lent. I'm going to give up social media for Lent. Well, I think it's more about not so much giving up stuff, but actually being actively positive about touching other people's lives through our prayers, through our actions, through our generosity. Maybe we could give up gossip. Maybe we could give up criticism. Maybe we could give up some of the negative stuff that sometimes we do in our lives. 40 days of Lent, focusing on the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. He was led there by the Holy Spirit. It was no accident. 40 days of Lent with a day off at the weekend, Sunday, the day of celebration in the season of Lent. Wow. Thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. It really has been, so far, really a delightful experience, worshiping together and welcoming one another here today. I want to read just a few verses from part of a letter written by a man called Paul in the first century. Paul wrote to groups of people, different church groups, different ethnic groups. He wrote to individuals as well. And this is part of a letter that he wrote to a young fellow called Timothy. Paul, and he gives his title, "I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus." That's Paul's credentials. We could probably, perhaps most of us here this morning, we could say something similar. An apostle was someone who was sent with a particular message or a particular purpose. So we might put our name in at the beginning. Bill, a messenger of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. You could put your name in there as well. And then live it. That's the challenge that comes to me. To Timothy, my dear son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. What a lovely blessing. Grace, mercy, peace. Paul goes on, I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I recall your tears. I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and that faith, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day that is yet to come. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And the letter continues. Written from prison. Paul was struggling. He was in prison. He was finding life difficult, but he focuses not on himself so much, but upon his son in the faith. And he mentions, as you've heard, Timothy's mother and grandmother. I thought it might be an appropriate passage to read for this Mothering Sunday. And I echo what Mike was saying earlier on about coming to church as a people. Well, you obviously think of this as your church. It's God's church, Christ's church, and we are members and partners together here. I thought I'd look at one or two people in the Bible who were mothers and the impact they had on their families and on the wider community as well. I've been doing some research in preparation for the 80th anniversary of VE Day coming up in May. And I've been asked to do some one or two little bits of presentation work up at Ellis Hall Sports College, where I'm one of the school chaplains. And I've been doing a little bit of research and thinking about my own experience. It kind of didn't occur to me until recently that when my father went to join the army, I was just a baby. I'm giving my age away now, aren't I? I was just a baby. Yeah, calculate, yeah. I think I was one when he went off to join the army, and my mother was left to look after this new baby. And I was actually looked after by three mothers. My own mother, my birth mother, Jenny, and she was amazing. My two grannies, yeah, they had a share to begin with in my upbringing. But there were two other people who mothered me. One was the lady upstairs, the lady who lived upstairs. And I think, I'm not too sure, because I was only one at the time, in my early years. But I later referred to the lady upstairs as Mammy Miller, Mrs. Miller, Mammy Miller. She looked after me when my mother went to work. And she had a profound influence on me, Mammy Miller. In fact, I spent a lot of time upstairs rather than in my own family home. But that was when I grew up a little bit more. There was another lady who mothered me. She was Molly. Auntie Molly, I called her. She was an unmarried lady, belonged to the local church where my parents were members. And Auntie Molly was just amazing. She took the pressure off my mother. Being a single mum, as it were, when my father was off during the Second World War, away for 5 or 6 years. Although he did come home when my grandma died for the funeral. But my mother, Mammy Miller, and Auntie Molly mothered me. They loved me. They cared for me. And Auntie Molly, Sunday by Sunday, and sometimes during the week as well, she nursed me and kept me quiet while my mother was doing work around the church or sharing the leading of Sunday schools. These people made a profound influence on me. And through the Bible, there are lots of women, married and not married, who had an impact on the children and young people around them. One of these was called Jochebed. Jochebed? Who was Jochebed? Well, those of us who are doing Open the Book at the moment, we've been in schools telling the story of Moses. Jochebed was Moses' mother. Born as a slave, or born into slavery in Egypt. Married to Amram. She became pregnant. Well, she already had 2 children before Moses, a daughter Miriam and a son Aaron. They belong to the priestly tribe of Levi. And Jochebed was a woman of faith. An edict had gone out from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, that all the baby boys were to be killed at birth. The midwives were instructed to either kill the babies there and then or throw them into the river Nile and allow them to drown. Jochebed believed that her child was a gift from God, this new baby. And so she hid him for 3 months until, I guess, it became more difficult. A 3-month-old baby makes a noise. There's all sorts of other things too. And Jochebed was not only a woman of faith, she was creative. How can I keep my child alive? How can I preserve his life when all around baby boys are being killed? And you probably know the story. Jochebed made a basket woven from reeds. She painted the outside or covered the outside with tarry stuff to keep it watertight, and then she put the baby into the basket. In fact, we were in Milking Bank this week, Milking Bank School, and when I was introducing the story of Moses later on in his life, I said to the young folk, you'll remember we the last time that we opened the book we're in, we told you the story of the baby in a basket. And one little girl put her hand up and said, no, that's not the title that you told us. And she told me the correct title that we had used 2 or 3 weeks before. Jochebed made this basket and put the baby in the basket, and I guess you know the story, that this baby floated in among the reeds at the edge of the river until the princess from the royal household came to have a swim or a bath in the river. She couldn't do that in some of our rivers now, around here. But anyhow, she came to bathe in the river, and she found this basket with the baby in, and so she was torn. She could have obeyed the edict from her father to kill the baby boy, but she didn't. She wanted to keep this baby alive and adopt it into her family. And Jochebed, having hidden her child in the reeds, Jochebed is now given the responsibility of looking after her own baby, bringing him up as her child, which he was, until later he went to live in Pharaoh's palace. And Moses went on to become the great leader of the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, leading them out of slavery. God's hand was upon this child, and Jochebed, his mom, played such a significant role in his early years. Another lady whose story is recorded partially in the Old Testament part of the Bible, a lady called Hannah. Hannah couldn't have children, so it seemed. And so Hannah prayed. She prayed and prayed and prayed. In fact, when she went to the temple to pray, the priest in the temple thought she was just a little bit out of it. She constantly prayed that God would give her a child. And God heard her prayer. And Hannah, a woman of prayer, after her son was born, she presented him to God. A gift from God and a gift to God. Her son was Samuel. Samuel became a great prophet, a great preacher. And Hannah prayed for him. Prayed before she conceived, prayed during the pregnancy, prayed afterwards. A woman of devout prayer. Jochebed, a woman of faith and creativity. Hannah, a woman of prayer and commitment. Into the New Testament, there's another lady called Elizabeth. Elizabeth was getting on in years. She was past the normal age of childbearing. But God heard her prayers too, and those of her husband. And Elizabeth became pregnant. She gave birth to a son, John, his name was. He went on to become known as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. He was odd. He really was. He dressed in peculiar clothes. He had a particularly strange diet. But he was Elizabeth's son. And in her older years, I can't begin to imagine how she managed to cope with a rebel, a young lad who didn't conform to the normal characteristics of society. He was an outsider. And Elizabeth saw her son growing up. Odd, difficult, challenging, perhaps. Some of us have had sons like that. But John grew up. And he became God's voice to the people. He called people to repent, to turn away from their sins. He called people to come and be baptized in the River Jordan to symbolically have their sins washed away and have a new beginning, a new start. He became known as the forerunner, the one who went ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elizabeth had a challenging time. The fourth lady, young lady, is Mary. Mary is at the other end of the age scale from Elizabeth. Elizabeth was well on in years. Mary was a teenager, a young teenager, maybe 14, 15 years of age. When God comes to her or an angel comes to her and says, Mary, God has chosen you to bear his child. But well, she could have presented excuses. What will people say? What will people think of me? How am I going to manage? I'm only 14. But Mary, you know the story, I guess. Mary simply responds to what God says. And yeah, says, amen. Let it be. I'm willing for whatever God wants of me. A young mum facing a few challenges, pledged to be married to an older man, Joseph. And then Joseph says, I've had enough of this. We're going to call it off. I'm not going to marry you. You've obviously been with somebody else. Until an angel reassured Joseph that this was part of God's plan. And he was going to be part of God's plan together with Mary. Did you ever wonder where Jesus got his knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures? Who taught him? Who introduced him to prayer? Who showed him the ways of right and wrong? You see, Jesus was totally human. And as a totally human baby, young man or young person, he needed education and teaching. A formation of his life. Where did he get that from? Mary. We don't think too much about Mary at times. She gets a mention at Christmas. Oh, she gets a mention in the Easter story as well. But just think, as a mother, what she put into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Caring for him, loving him, nursing him, watching over him when he cut his fingers or when he stubbed his toes or when he twisted his ankle. Oh yeah, I'm sure he did all of those or most of it anyway. Or when he got an upset stomach. You don't think of Jesus having diarrhea, do you? No. But he was totally human, like us. And his mother was totally committed to bringing up her child, God's child. What an amazing story. And Mary was there right the way through his life. She saw him performing miracles. She heard him preaching or teaching in the synagogue, in the temple. She was there at the cross when he died. And afterwards. A woman dedicated to the plans of God for her. I guess we could learn something from these four women. Jochebed, woman of faith and creativity, trusting in God, believing that God was with her. Hannah, a praying woman, praying for a child, praying for her child, praying with him as he grew up and developed into the preacher man that he became. Elizabeth, with her patience, with a son who was a bit of a rebel, who didn't quite fit into society very easily. Elizabeth's patience and care and kindness, and Mary, willing to follow the way of God, willing to be obedient to God's plan for her life. From these, we can learn so much. Whether we're mothers or not mothers, or fathers or not fathers, whatever. As people together, God's word is designed to help us. The Apostle Paul wrote that in another of his letters. All scripture is given by God for our education, for our learning, for our faith journey. Maybe you've not heard of some of these women that I've mentioned. After all, Jochebed isn't mentioned all that much, but she is listed in Hebrews chapter 11, a catalogue of people of faith, and there's reference to her there. Hannah. I'm constantly reminded of Hannah. I've got a granddaughter called Hannah. And my Hannah, my granddaughter, is named after the Hannah in the Bible, because my granddaughter, Hannah, is alive because of the prayers of God's people. Not only Hannah, but her brother and sister as well. Elizabeth, a lady of patience and compassion. And Mary, well, you've been ever so good, you know. You've listened ever so well. And it's great that you're here this morning. Thank you so much for all of that. Let me pray. Then we'll sing again. There are so many more people that I could have mentioned this morning. A lady who was described as a mother in Israel, Deborah. Oh, don't know much about her. But she had an influence on so many people. Thank you for the ways in which we discover facets of your character, loving God, in the people that we read of in the scriptures. Help us to learn more about you. And here today, will you touch our lives with your mercy and grace and peace. And I pray for my friends here this morning that you might encourage all of us as we've come to church today. May this time be special for each of us, and may we go on to be special for you in the days to come. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.